What I'd like to do is move tonight to the knowledge of God, basically, that God is all-knowing, kind of describe his omniscience. And as we work through this, again, the goal is for you to basically probably remember a lot of the things that you already know about God. The scripture we're going to talk about tonight probably will be familiar to you, ones that you have heard and studied before. But the goal would be for you to take the information about God tonight and then practically think about it and meditate on it and use it this week in your everyday life. And so when we think about God's knowledge, we're talking about the fact that God knows all things, past, present, and future, whether actual or possible. God knows all things, past, present, future, whether actual or possible. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20, it says this, "In whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things." So I want to give you some characteristics of God's knowledge, and there's about seven of them, I believe, as we work through this. And again, I want you to just not gain information, but information to help you meditate and think on and then practically apply it in your lives this week. So first of all, God's knowledge is immediate. God's knowledge is immediate. What do I mean by that? Well, he does not learn. God does not learn. He does not gain knowledge by any temporal process such as induction, deduction, logic, or comparison. That's how we gain knowledge, right? So we're talking about ways that our Creator and the creation were distinct. There's a difference between us. We're made in his image, but there is a distinction between the Creator and his creation. And this aspect of who he is reminds us that he is not like us in this particular way. We gain through induction and deduction and logic and study. We build on our knowledge base. Now, some of you would say tonight, you know, there was a time when I was building on my knowledge base, but now I'm at a stage in my life when I just keep losing that information. And I get that, and I'm right in heading that direction as well. But God is not like that. So we understand from our own perspective how we learn. You know, you take when a child goes to kindergarten or first grade, and the learning starts to become like building blocks for them, and then hopefully they gain information as they go through, even on to college and other opportunities for learning. But God's knowledge is not like that. God's knowledge is immediate. He knows all things instantly and simultaneously. So that's helpful for us because we want to increase our faith in this God, right? In our God, we want to increase our trust. And so at every moment, God is aware of everything that ever was, everything that is, and everything that shall be. So that information about who he is should cause us to say, wow. You know, we saw his creative work last week, but as we think about his knowledge, we understand how amazing he is in this way. He has never needed anyone to counsel him. I don't know that there's one person here today who has said in their life they didn't need advice from someone. They didn't need someone to speak into their life, and they didn't need a little bit of counsel here and there, right? None of us would be like that. Our God is not like us. In fact, the scripture tells us that for who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became his counselor? And it's a rhetorical question. No one. God never needed a counselor. He will never need a counselor. His knowledge is absolutely immediate all the time. Isaiah 40. 13 and 14. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has informed him? Answer, no one. With whom did he consult or who gave him understanding? And to who taught him in the path of justice and taught him knowledge and informed him of the way of understanding? The answer to these questions, no one. Our God never has needed anything to learn. His knowledge is always immediate. The second thing I'd like you to understand about God's knowledge is God knows all things that are even possible. So all of the what-if situations in your life that you spend a lot of time thinking about, I don't know about you, but it's probably sometimes at night, you know, you're sitting there trying to fall off to sleep, and your mind can go, or maybe you are awakened in the middle of the night, and you start to think of all the what-if possibilities. Just take one area of your life, and the amount of time we spend thinking about the what-ifs. Imagine our God being fully aware of all those possibilities. Now, he's very aware of what will happen, but I want you to be astounded by his knowledge and the fact that he knows all the possibilities. He tells us this in the scripture, Matthew 11. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will descend to Hades. For if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. So Jesus gives us an illustration of what-if scenarios. Now, these things did not happen, but he gives us the scenario of the possible, what could have happened. God's knowledge is immediate, but it's also of things that we can't even comprehend, all of the amazing possibility. There are no unexplored possibilities in the universe with our God. None. So as you are tempted this week to worry about perhaps your finances, perhaps your children and their lives, your grandchildren, and all the what-ifs, would you let the knowledge of the fact that your God, he is fully aware of all the possibilities? And that should bring comfort to your heart. And it really, when he says, do not worry about tomorrow, it probably means that he's big enough that we could trust him with our tomorrows. Because he knows all things, even the possibilities. We have probably single folks here tonight who have thought of all the what-if possibilities in marriage, right? Everyone who's ever been married or headed that direction has gone through that process. All the what-ifs. Imagine our God, he knows all of those things. He is an amazing God with his knowledge. All possible events are known to God. He knows all what could happen and all what will happen, and he knows them at the exact same time. Another thought about God's knowledge would be that God's knowledge is perfect. And the scripture tells us that. It's a perfect knowledge. In Job chapter 37, verse 16, do you know about the layers of the thick clouds, and we had that kind of illustration last night, the wonders of the one who is perfect in knowledge? Nothing ever surprises God or takes him off guard. God has never been wrong, ever. How many times this week were you wrong, right, about information? I was talking with someone this week, and they were telling me that they had read some information about, you know, just life and leaders and things like that. And they were saying that even the greatest CEOs, kind of you take the top people who have seem like they have everything possible going for them and the abilities, the top CEOs. It is said about folks like that, they're even wrong 20% of the time. 80% they get right. So that's an amazing percentage, right? But even the best of the best miss it 20% of the time. That's a lot of the time. But we have a God who is perfect in knowledge. He does not ever miss a step. He doesn't make mistakes. There are no errors. There are no flaws in his judgment. So you perhaps are experiencing something in your life, and the evil one would want you to think about God, that God missed it here. That perhaps God made a mistake. And the answer to those thoughts would be absolutely not. It is not even possible. God is perfect in his knowledge. He is never wrong. Number four, I would say, God's knowledge of the Trinity is complete. And I thought this was interesting, just the way that God reveals himself. Some things that maybe you've never even thought of. You read scripture about this, you know, maybe your eyes have gone through it, but you've never actually taken a moment to think about it. But God reveals himself in this way, with his knowledge. He reveals himself that all things have been handed over to me by my Father. And Jesus says, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. And then as well, we have in John chapter 10 and verse 15, even as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. One more passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. So God has told us that within the Trinity, the knowledge of the three persons of the Trinity are complete and perfect. So the Father knows everything about the Son knows everything about the Father, the Spirit knows everything about the Father. It's an amazing thing how our God operates and how great he is, that their knowledge of each other is fully complete. There are no human thoughts that can fathom the thoughts of God. We can't figure it out. We're not made to. But they, all three persons of the Trinity, they know each other perfectly and complete. Another thought about God's knowledge is that it is eternal. It is eternal. Scripture tells us that in Acts chapter 15 and verse 18, says the Lord, who makes these things known from long ago? And then as well in Isaiah chapter 46, remember this and be assured, recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things long past, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. God's knowledge is eternal. He has always known, he does know, and he always will know. And for us as finite beings, We look in the rearview mirror and we've caught maybe some of what's happened in our life, right? We remember parts, but even our memory gets a little shaky here and now, here and then, and so our mind is so small compared to a God who has always known everything. He knows everything tonight, and he always will know everything. His knowledge is eternal. Anything from the past to the present to the future. God knows the outcome of history. It was that image of the New York Senate or whoever passed that bill, the government there in New York, and them signing that bill and people clapping and cheering, and that I can't get that image out of my head. And yet, I keep telling myself, you know what? God knows that. He's always known that. And he's known about all the atrocities. If you've been to any of the Holocaust museums, you walk through those places and you're just astounded, and you're really hit with the amount of information of the depravity of man and the links. You know what? God knows. God knows it all. And his knowledge is eternal. Nothing takes him by surprise. And this is important because God's knowledge of past, present, and future events, it really sets him aside from all of the other worthless idols and so-called gods. This makes our God distinct. God's knowledge is eternal. Future is only future to humans. Future is only future to humans. God doesn't have to, he doesn't operate in the same way that we do. To God, all the events are a single act of eternal intuition. Let that blow your mind. All the events that ever occurred, that are occurring today, God does not need to watch the Super Bowl tonight. He probably could care less. But they're just, it's all part of his eternal intuition. Another thing about God's knowledge I think is helpful, it is exhaustive. It's exhaustive. Now, this is where it kind of gets really personal for us, I think. We can have some scripture here about the material world. Scripture says, for he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. Even as Jennifer spoke about going out in the early morning hours and seeing the vast creation of God, and yet he knows her personally. So his knowledge is exhaustive. It tells us, I think this was in, actually I thought I had one more on that one. Nope, I'll just mention it to you. Psalm 147 in verse 4. He counts the number of the stars and he gives names to all of them. That was actually from last week. He counts the numbers of the stars and he gives them all names. So his knowledge is exhaustive. The animal world. Think about this. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent and yet not one of them? Does that say fail? It should be, will fall to the ground apart from your father. So think about this. The example is of two, you know, small birds that are really, they're not really worth much from a human perspective. But to God, they don't touch the ground. And some have suggested that this is actually an illustration. Sometimes it's that they fall and perhaps they fall and die, but it's actually probably a different way to look at it is every time they touch the ground. So imagine the life of a sparrow and the day of a sparrow, every time it touches the ground or touches a branch. That's the exhaustive nature of our God. That's how amazing his knowledge is. It's how exhaustive his knowledge is. We have the information in scripture that in Job here, 26, it tells us that even the spirits of the dead, they have no covering. They are completely laid out before God. God is aware of every realm. As well, we have the world of mankind. Psalm 33, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. And this is the great part. You know when I sit down, when I rise up, you understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path, my lying down. You're intimately acquainted with all of my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. So God's knowledge of the minutiae of our lives. So do you know how many times you sat down today? You probably can think through and figure it out. God knows it. You remember all of your thoughts from the time you got up this morning and you felt every ache and pain? That's just in your physical body. And then you felt your every ache and pain in your emotional being as well. It says God knows them. And then he's going to know it about tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday. His knowledge is exhaustive of your personal life. This is my favorite verse about God's knowledge in all of the Bible. This blows my mind. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 30. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So what I love to do when I'm spending time in prayer and I'm going through the attributes of God, I like to say things to God, and this is just how my mind works. I like to say things like, God, you know how many hairs are on my head right now. And then I'll do this. And I'll say, God, you know if one just fell out. Like, call me crazy. It's just how I make personal applications about who God is. But that's the kind of knowledge, that intimate knowledge that God has. You say, well, I don't have any hair on my head. Well, you know, just go with the application, all right? Apply it some other way. But that's how much God knows about you. So when you're tempted to think, God, where are you? That's a thought from the evil one. We shouldn't entertain thoughts like that, because they cannot be true. They can't be true. God, you've forgotten about me. It's not possible. He knows everything about you at this very moment, and everything you have ever experienced and ever will experience. And he knew it all simultaneously. So when he says, trust me, my child, we actually can. If you believe that the word of God is true, then these things have to be true about our God. And if they're true about our God, then there is no reason why we cannot trust him. Because he absolutely knows. The last thing I would like us to think about as we wrap up here tonight is God's knowledge is penetrating. God's knowledge is penetrating. The scripture tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 16, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. See, we can do really well at masking or fooling, preventing people to know. We're really good at hiding. But God knows. God knows our hearts. Proverbs tells us, 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, and he's watching the evil and the good. And so this probably should do a couple things for believers. It should bring conviction. Conviction is good. We want conviction in our life. We want the Holy Spirit convicting us. If we don't have conviction, we're in trouble, right? We want to take that through the grid of the gospel and look to the fact that God took care of our sin and he loves us so much. He's forgiven us of our sin, but he wants us to turn. He wants us to live lives of repentance and turn from it. So the knowledge of God should be convicting for us. That's one aspect. But the second aspect is it should be very comforting to us. So as we think about the fact that God is fully aware of the depths of our sin and he doesn't hold it against us, it should bring conviction, but it should bring comfort. Because if we are in Christ, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But this knowledge should then motivate us to say, God, you're aware. And this is not your will for my life. So help me to turn. Help me to grow. Help me to change. Help me to put off these things and put on what you want me to put on that represents the Spirit of God and his work in my life. So God's knowledge should, in a sense, blow our minds. It should. When we really think about all these ideas about possibility and future. But I think more importantly, it should work out in our lives where we're being convicted because we know we can't hide and we can't get away with anything, and yet comforted because we have a Savior and he took care of everything that we couldn't handle and do in and of ourselves. And our God, he's very aware. He knows exactly what we need and when we need it. This is a great scripture to help us. It will come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. Our God is great in knowledge. He's so great that before we even call, he's got it taken care of. So some would say, well, why do we pray? Why do we even waste our time? Because he told us to. Really? I mean, there's a lot of tensions in the scripture that there's no real easy solutions to. But he has said, communicate with me. You say, well, he already knows, and he's already got it planned, and he said communicate, which really is helpful for us because it puts us in the rightful place, because we like to set ourselves up as being greater than what we are and really kind of manipulate situations in life and try to orchestrate so things work out for our benefit. But when we pray, we come under who he is, and we're actually in humility acknowledging, God, you're in your right spot. Help me to stay in mine. Help me to understand how big you are, how great you are, and then help me to just live and trust. So we pray because he's told us to, and it really shows our dependence upon him, and it reminds us of our rightful place. We are the creation. We are but dust. We're frail in our minds. And we learn and grow, and then many times we forget and fail. And yet our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, nothing catches our God off guard. Nothing surprises him. He never gets it wrong. He's always aware. And that knowledge of him should help you this week. We rehearse truth over and over and over and over again. Why? Because we need it. And we need to be reminded about this amazing God. And we need to let our theology control our comfort zone. One of my mentors used to say that all the time. Your theology must control your comfort zone. What does that mean? What you know about God must control where you live every day. So this week, and I don't think my wife will mind sharing, but or my, me sharing. So she had a situation at work where, you know, there's these situations where sometime every once in a while you have one of these folks that would call the office, and the person on call would take that lead or whatever. And this particular call was a very large buyer, and large buyers in real estate don't come along every day. But this was a really large buyer that just happened to call into the office and was not represented. And so, again, this does not happen very often. So the person who was on call wasn't available or whatever at the time. And so one of the bosses came in and said to my wife and to another colleague, hey, pick a number 1 to 10. He didn't say why. He said, pick a number 1 to 10. They picked a number. Well, my wife got the wrong number. And then he said, oh, by the way, this is for a really big lead. And she texted me. She said, oh, you'll never believe it. I picked the wrong number. And I responded back, God knows. God knows. That didn't surprise him. God knows. Our theology must control our comfort zone. So whatever you're facing this week, as you pillow your head tonight thinking about the week events or heading to the office in the morning or to school or whatever your path is, would you just rehearse the fact that your God knows it all and he's got it all taken care of so we actually can rest and be different than the world around us that we go into the office with, or our school, or the playground, or the grocery store, wherever it is. We're supposed to be different. How are we different? Well, our knowledge of who God is and our relationship with him, it changes us. And so we walk, trusting, resting. Nothing should throw us off. Now we're frail, we're human, and it does, but we need to go back to what we know. Our God is omniscient. He knows everything all the time. So much that from the moment we leave here and you go home, spend the evening, he knows how many hairs will drop off your head tonight. I love that. I just love it. But it helps me. It helps settle my soul. Because I'm prone to worry and get anxious. And I don't need to be. I don't need to be. Let's pray. Father, thank you for revealing yourself to us. Thank you that you're a God that is completely aware. You do not forget. You don't get it wrong. You're always right. You always have been, and you always will be. Thank you that we can pillow our heads at peace tonight, knowing that you are fully in charge and you are fully aware. I pray that our knowledge of you will have an impact. It really will control our comfort zone this week. It'll help us. And these scriptures that you have revealed to us about yourself, we'll just meditate on them and think about them and really be able to walk into this week at rest and be able to carry through the week at rest and even end the week at rest because you are the all-knowing God. Thank you for just helping us tonight understand these things in your holy and precious name, I pray. Amen. You are dismissed. God bless you.